Professor Barry Shoup, the former executive director of the National Institute of Communicable Diseases, and, if that wasn't enough, Professor Emeritus of Virology at Wits University. Prof, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Simon. Hi.
Prof, great to have you again, and the topic which we haven't gotten to all week, and I know people are interested in, is the one of hot food. I just want to put a bit of perspective on it. I'm not interested in the topic, you know, in terms of, woe is unto me because I can't buy hot food. No, not at all. I understand that that's an obscene question in light of people starving in this time. What I am interested is why on earth would legislators have even bothered about hot food at all? What impact would that have or not have on the spread of a virus?
Right. Thanks, Simon. I know we've been promising to discuss this very hot topic. I'm going to start with a disclaimer. I'm glad you said former director. I'm no longer with the NICD. I was their director. I'm no longer with the NHLS. I'm no longer with the Department of Health. I was employed by them. And I'm also not on any advisory committee to the Department of Health on the COVID issue. Yes. So I really plead not guilty. I take no responsibility. My role is really an advisory to the various bodies of the Jewish community. But I'll try and give some kind of explanation for it. Yes. Let me start with making two points. The first point is that we're really faced with a very serious epidemic, an unprecedentedly serious epidemic. We've got a new virus in a totally susceptible population, so it requires extraordinary measures. That's the first point. And the second point is the only measure that we do have now to control the outbreak is social distancing and mass testing. I won't talk about the mass testing. Let's focus on the social distancing. In other words, lockdown. The one problem with lockdown is that there is, of course, an important loophole. And the loophole are the shops.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we do try and do the bare minimum social distancing, but the shops are a weak point where people do congregate. And obviously people need to buy food and they need to buy medicine. But the lockdown allowance, or the kind of what's behind the lockdown allowance to go and buy food and medicine, is that you should buy food that you, and that you need, no more, no less. Buy medicine that you need, no more, no less. As we mentioned on the Tuesday slot, the lockdown comes with an enormous cost, and that enormous cost, psychological, economical, and socials particularly, is now leading to food insecurity, as I think you mentioned earlier, in the country.
Yes.
Now, you know, the kind of the control with its part, buying into the mass testing or buying into the lockdown really needs buy-in from the population as a whole. And I don't think we can just totally dismiss the problem that a large proportion of the country are going hungry as a result of the lockdown. We do need that kind of the buy-in of everybody. And I think the problem is that if it's seen that much of the population of South Africa don't have food to eat, whereas other sections of the population are complaining because they don't get rotisserie chickens, that is a problem. And these measures will probably be carried on after lockdown as well. We'll have to have some kind of mitigation measures. It may well be also that hot food won't be allowed either. I think you know that, you know, perhaps in the Jewish community, where you stand outside a takeout place which is serving hot food, and people do congregate there and they do socialize. Now, as I say, I'm not taking responsibility. I didn't make that decision. But I think that's part of the thinking which may have gone behind it. I think it's probably also an important political component of equality and inequality in the population. And that is also a component itself for the success of lockdown.
Prof, I hear you loud and clear, and it's just so funny how in the South African context, everything just becomes so much more, what's the word I'm looking for, polarizing. Because, you know, somebody pointed out to me, but hold on a minute, there are a lot of older people who actually rely on pre-prepared frozen hot foods, you know, for their sustenance. And at every turn, I don't know, it's the wisdom of Solomon to balance these particular interests.
No, you're absolutely correct. I think just to clarify, I don't think it's prepared food. I think it's hot food, which is outlawed. I don't think prepared food as such is. Am I incorrect?
I think there's been a whole lot of misinformation in the media about that particular point. The last that Business Insider was quoting was saying that frozen meals were going to be prohibited as well. So, I don't want to be part of the problem. I don't want to put fake news out there. I don't know what the story is, but certainly the hot food.
My understanding is it's limited to hot food. Nothing for that reason. That it does underline the inequality. We are in a very unequal society, unfortunately. And the success of lockdown does depend on total population buy-in for success.
Hear you loud and clear. Prof, thanks for your input this week. It is 4:30. We're going to have to leave it there. Shabbat shalom to you. And, I hope next week when, we speak again, you will have some good news to bring us.
Yeah, Shabbat shalom to the listeners. Thank you. I hope I clarified it somewhat.